selected verses. First, we'll be reading verses 8 to 11. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and servants." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now verse 16. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Verses 22 through 24. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. And now verses 32 to 37 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came, I carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." God's word for our consideration this morning. Please be seated. One day there was a little boy, and he was continually being harassed by a bully. Every time this little boy walked to school, a bully would beat him up. And some of the little boy's friends gave him some advice on what to do. In fact, they gave him a lot of different advice. They told him to try to find another route home, but the bully found out all about that route and still beat the little boy up. Another person suggested that the little boy carry a stick with him. Well, the bully caught up with him, took the stick out of his hand, and beat him with it. Everything the boy tried to get rid of the bully did not work. And one day, the young man was walking to school again, and he was somewhat terrified, because out jumped the bully with his fist clenched, getting ready to pounce on the little boy. But the youngster beckoned to the bully that morning and said, "Come on, I'm ready." Wow, the bully just couldn't believe this young man all of a sudden got some guts. The young man said, come on, you bully, I'm going to take you on right now." Well, this just aggravated the bully. So he started toward the boy, just getting ready to pummel him like he did any time in the past. And then all of a sudden, out stepped the little boy's father from behind a huge bush. His father was 6 feet 10 inches tall, weighed 275 pounds, and the bully looked up in shock at his father and said, "Oh no." In 2011, a documentary film was produced called Bully. And it addressed the problem of bullying in American schools. And it followed the lives of 5 children who had experienced ridicule and physical assaults at bus stops, in school buses, in classrooms, between classes, at lunch, in locker rooms, and even in bathrooms. And two of those five students who were followed in that documentary eventually took their own lives. By one definition, bullying is aggressive behavior that uses power, coercion, or verbal abuse to humiliate and to exploit the weakness of others. Now, bullying can involve either a real or a perceived imbalance of power. The behavior is repeated, or it has the potential to be repeated over time. And bullying can include such actions as making threats, spreading rumors, attacking someone not just physically but also verbally, and even excluding someone from a group on purpose. Now, there have been a lot of rationalizations made for bullying over the years. Sometimes people feel they have the right to bully because of money or social class differences, differences in race, religion, gender, appearance, body language, personality, reputation, lineage, strength, size, or ability. And people who have been studying contemporary bullying have found out there are four basic kinds of abuse that is going on today. There's emotional abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, and cyber abuse. Let's talk for a minute about the emotional abuse. Emotional or relational bullying is done with the intent of trying to hurt somebody's reputation or social understanding. And relational bullying can be used as a tool by bullies to try to improve their own social standing or as a means to exercise control over other people. Second, verbal bullying. This is maybe the most common form of bullying because it involves calling names, threatening somebody, or making fun of others. Three, physical bullying hurts somebody's, not just their body, but sometimes it damages the possessions of another person. Physical bullying can involve stealing, shoving, hitting, fighting, or destroying property, vandalism. That's all types of physical bullying. However, those who study bullying have found out that rarely the first form of bullying is not the physical bullying. And now, in our age of computers and internet, we have what is called cyberbullying. And cyberbullying is the use of technology to harass, to threaten, to embarrass, or to target another person. And this can include everything from email, instant messaging, social network sites such as Facebook, text messages, and of course, even cell phones. A lot of people have tried to come up with some other words, synonyms, to describe what bullying is. And they've come up with words like this: coerce, pressure, press, push, force, compel, badger, goad, prod, browbeat, intimidate, strong arm, bulldoze, railroad, or lean on. And did you know that some of the saddest teenagers are not just the bullies, but the people who are being bullied? You see, bullies, they're often disliked for their cowardly attacks on smaller, weaker victims. And then those bullied, they're sometimes viewed with contempt because of their seeming inability to fend for themselves. And they're sometimes characterized by an inherent an apparent weakness that keeps them even from moving away from the role of being the victim of the bully. Some believe that when bullies call people names, for example, I was told often bullies will call somebody, "You're lame." They insult other people so that they can feel better about themselves. Psychologists know that some bullies are arrogant and they're narcissistic, and they use their bullying as a tool to conceal some shame, anxiety, or boost their own self-esteem. Because when they demean other people, somehow that makes the abuser feel he or she has more power. Some bullies might have inflated egos, but they're very fragile egos. They're frequently offended by criticism and a lack of deference by other people, so that if you're giving the bully respect, often the bully reacts with insults or even with violence. Now, I think all of us here this morning realize that bullying isn't just limited to school students. Bullying in school and in the workplace often occurs. And sometimes bullying in school or at the workplace is even referred to as peer abuse. Now, I've called this sermon this morning Bullying and the Bible, because there are so many examples of bullying in the Bible. In fact, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, you see the earliest example of bullying, where Ishmael is scoffing at his half-brother Isaac. Another example of the Old Testament, Elisha, one of the greatest prophets of ancient Israel, he was even a victim of verbal bullying by 4 dozen young people. Not just once, but twice. And he was bullied because of his physical appearance while he was on a mission trip. Let me read this account for you from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. "Go on up, you bald head," they said. "Go on up, you bald head." He turned around, looked at them, called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then 2 bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. And he went on to Mount Carmel, and from there returned to Samaria. Another example of bullying in the Bible is from our text of 1 Samuel chapter 17, where we learn about a bully, a giant by the name of Goliath. And he used his enormous hulk and bulk to scare the Israeli soldiers. Obviously, Goliath was a very arrogant bully who had never been put down or never experienced defeat in his life. Bible scholars tell us that Goliath was a big guy. He was 9 feet 6 inches tall. And our text indicates every day for 40 days he came forward to bully the Israelites. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 4 and in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 23, both indicate that the Philistines considered that bully Goliath their champion. Goliath wore a coat of mail that he wore, and it was fashioned from several hundred small bronze plates that resembled fish scales that provided him in battle protection, lightness, and freedom of movement. The weight of his bronze armor was impressive. His offensive weapons were made from iron. He had a javelin as well as a sword. He even had a shield that was carried by an aide in battle. Certainly, Goliath the bully appeared and felt he was invincible. And he hurled those verbal challenges of combat into the Israeli soldiers' lines. And the mere sight of this bully and hearing his words was enough for the men of Israel to flee in panic. And even from a distance, Goliath's defiant challenge appeared to have been loud enough to interrupt a conversation that David was having with his brothers. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, you can see the contrast between the attitudes of the men of Israel and of David. The men of Israel called Goliath this man. David called him this uncircumcised Philistine. They said that Goliath had come out to defy Israel, but David said no, he had come out to defy the armies of the living God. David experienced something that we would call righteous indignation. And in that, he first implicitly and later explicitly, he offered to fight Goliath because David knew the Lord was on his side in spite of the seemingly overwhelming odds against him. The Bible indicates that the bully Goliath continued to verbally taunt David. And David's response indicated that he had great courage. And it indicates that David was a great man of faith. And obviously the Lord had revealed to David Goliath's weaknesses and enabled him to overcome the bully. David's victory, I think, was an excellent example of God's principles of operation that the Apostle Paul delineated in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 27 to 29, which I want to read for you. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, in other words, what isn't seen, right? To nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Years later, we find in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 that after he became king, guess what David became? He became a bully himself. He became a royal bully who heartlessly abused his power to take the wife of Bathsheba and the life of her husband, one of David's own generals, Uriah. And it took the courage and the wisdom of Nathan the prophet to bring David the bully back to his senses and back to a closer, obedient walk with the Lord. I think as Christian people, the closer we try to walk with the Lord, the more that we're going to all face another bully in our lives that in the Bible is called the devil, he's called Satan, he's called the deceiver, he's called Lucifer. The closer we try to walk with the Lord, the more the bully, the devil, is not going to want to leave us alone. And if we're not walking close to the Lord Jesus, we can expect the devil to come after us again and again and again. Because I don't find anywhere in the Bible where the devil ever takes a day off. He never goes on a vacation. There's still other biblical examples of bullying that have to do with the abuse of power. We find in 1 Kings chapter 21, a king and a queen, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And by the way, even though I taught in public and private schools for, I think, 23 or 24 years, I never had a Jezebel for a student. It just seems that that's not a very popular name to give a child. But in any event, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, they misused their influence to not only deprive a landowner, Naboth, of his vineyard, but also of his life. And later in the New Testament, we see the coming of another son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can get a full picture of how contrary every type and every act of bullying is, not just to the Lord, but to every human being. I wonder, and I'd just like us to try to imagine this morning, how many of us can fully explain or sense the implications of what was happening nearly 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, allowed himself on this earth to be bullied, to be mocked, to be beaten, to be spit upon, and then to be nailed to an executioner's cross for sinful, helpless, broken, weak, and individuals like we are. You know, bullies have an aversion to authority, don't they? And I've often wondered, why are there so many people who have an aversion to authority? Is it just because they are stubbornly committed to their own independence? And that the bully doesn't want to answer to anyone but themselves? Maybe it's taken so many of us too long to learn that real strength in life comes from spiritual submission. That real authority in life comes in knowing Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, following his teachings and in his examples. And my prayer for us this morning is that every one of us will recommit ourselves to treating everybody we meet with the same sacrificial kindness, respect, and acceptance that Jesus Christ demonstrated for each one of us. As we consider that prayerful challenge, I invite you to stand, turn to number 764, and we'll sing that twice, number 764.